We'll see the latest weapon in the fight against COVID tomorrow when England launches its tracing app. A quarter of the population in Scotland and Northern Ireland have downloaded their apps. If it works, it'll help trace contacts of those who test positive. I spoke to Professor Lillian Edwards, an expert on technology law at Newcastle University. She advised the UK government on its first attempt at an app in the UK.
My main concern is actually not the app itself, but the interaction with the testing schedule. The app only sends out proximity warnings to the contacts on upload of a positive test. The whole idea is to catch contacts before they develop symptoms in that sort of 7-day window when they won't be isolating. If tests are taking 5 to 7 days to get back, then by that time, the contacts will have developed symptoms and should hopefully be isolating or reporting their symptoms themselves. So if we don't speed up testing, then the app is functionally useless.
So it depends on getting the testing system up to speed.
It does, and that's the crucial point, because the main use is to catch the asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic people in that sort of 7-day window.
What do we know about this, I suppose, second attempt at getting a nationwide app?
Well, importantly, we know that it's now been built on the decentralised model, like almost all the other apps in Europe, in Germany, Ireland, Northern Ireland, Scotland, etc., etc. And that means that it's highly privacy preserving and should therefore be much more trustworthy, hopefully, to the population than the previous version of the app was.
But the way it would work is what you download it and then you may get a ping saying you have been too close to somebody for too long who now has tested positive.
Yes, exactly. That's all you should get. It would be better described as a proximity warning app than a contact tracing app, because it does not trace, track or surveil you 24/7.
OK, but it'll be advising you, really, you should go home now and self-isolate.
What should actually happen is you should get in touch with a contact tracer at that point.
OK, so you'll get a message saying that you should contact the tracers.
Yes.
And then, what, presumably they'd tell you go home and stay there for 2 weeks?
Well, I haven't seen the messaging. I mean, a great deal will depend on the actual wording of the messaging, because it will have to be persuasive and it will have to be reassuring. And this is one of my concerns, actually, with this talk in the ether. I don't think it's definite yet, of fines for non-self-isolation. I think that's the point that really needs clarified, is whether receiving such a message constitutes an instruction to self-isolate, which if you don't obey, you could end up with a fine. Now, I believe that's not going to be the case, but so, I think it would be really important for that to be clarified.
Because you could just ignore it and carry on.
You could just ignore it, but also you might choose not to download the app at all for fear that this might happen, right? And therefore, it would be very bad for uptake, and we want uptake to be as high as possible.
Is there going to be some pressure to download it if, for example, it might give you access somewhere? So they might say, look, you're not coming on here unless you've downloaded the app and therefore can be traced.
That's what I hypothesised way back in March or April when we first started talking about apps. I honestly don't know if that's going to happen. I think the important locus is the workplace, particularly for low-paid, less empowered workers. Now that the app is so much more privacy-preserving, I suppose the balance of interests as to whether it's acceptable for an employer to make that request has shifted from last time. But again, whether the nuances of that can be conveyed to the public persuasively and accurately is going to be quite tough. So much of this is going to be about getting the messaging right.
Okay, but this, when Scotland launched their app, there were a huge number of people downloaded it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has been what I've said a great deal, is there's choices here between making the app as simple as possible. The Scottish app does one thing, it issues proximity warnings, as opposed to the English approach, which has been, let's make this seem like a really useful thing to have in your pocket. So they've bundled in a whole lot of functionality, including QR codes and self-isolation countdowns and so forth and so on. Now, I really hope they've done attitudes work on this. And indeed, the Scottish app has already been downloaded by roughly a quarter of the population, which is tremendous.
Do we know that the English model works? We haven't really seen any information about the pilots, have we?
We never got any results back from the trials on app 1.0, fair enough. We also haven't seen anything from the trials that have been going on this time in the Isle of Wight or Newham. And I think, again, for public confidence, it would be very good to see results from that, because we know that Bluetooth is not by any means 100% accurate.
Professor Lillian Edwards.